Good morning, good morning. We'll start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you so much for all that you do. And thank you for this time to look at your word and get a little bit better understanding of when you visit us out here at Earth during the first century, and that we can look to Luke here to help us to see what it was like for you growing up in this as God and also as man in this period of time in the first century. Guide us and help us to understand your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Yeah, it's I can't help but think about how much I would have loved to have been in Jerusalem during this time frame of when Jesus was on the earth. I sometimes feel a little jealous of the apostles, even though they all ended up dying, for their faith. Just to be that close to Jesus, and I know we're going to be there at some point too, but it, envy them a little bit. But right now we're talking about Jesus hasn't even been born yet. So we're going to talk about Mary, and we're in a portion of Luke chapter 1. Where Mary was introduced to Gabriel, the angel messenger. And as I mentioned yesterday, seemed to be a messenger. Gabriel always seemed to be involved whenever it came to the Jewish nation. So let's jump into Luke. Try to do verses 26 through 38. I don't think I'll get through them all. There's quite a few. So we'll see how it goes. Okay. Verses 'll get an idea of where we're at. We are in now. Gabriel is going to go to the land of Nazareth, and on this map, see my cursor. You come over here, and Nazareth is right here. This map is written in a different language. I think it's Italian. I just like the map. You can kind of tell what the words are, but this is Nazareth up here, and again, a reference point is Jerusalem down here. It's probably about 70 miles, I think it is, from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Actually, no, almost 90 miles, because it talks about the fact that I'm going to read one thing that when Joseph allows Mary to go down. To visit his, or when Mary goes down to visit her cousin, Elizabeth, who's now down in that area we showed you yesterday, Achaim. Most people believe that's where Zacharias and... So just to get from Nazareth to Jerusalem is 70 miles, according to one of my maps in my book. And then down to... about another 5 miles, so about 75 miles from Nazareth to where Elizabeth is. But we'll get to that probably tomorrow. But for now, we're talking about Gabriel's going to come talk to Mary up in Nazareth. And we believe that's where they lived at the time. Well, actually, it says it right in the verse. Can't mistake that. So let's start reading. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Pretty plain and clean. I don't think we can say much about that. Just a couple of things about Nazareth. It was a really small town. There'll be some interesting things said about Nazareth. Of course, it became quite well known, mainly because Jesus grew up there. And it's spoken of through the Bible a lot. But in talking about Gabriel, we first was introduced to Gabriel over in verse 19. And here is when Gabriel went and spoke to Elizabeth, Zacharias. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. So he just wanted to say who Gabriel was, same Gabriel. And then talk about Nazareth a little bit. And we know Nazareth is where Joseph and Mary lived. Joseph had been endowed to marry Mary. This hadn't happened yet at this point. And here we had in Luke 2:4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. And this, is what we'll get to in a couple of weeks, or next week probably, which is called Bethlehem. Just wanted to point out that Joseph, who he was, that he lived in Nazareth also, and that he would be, and kind of proves here that he was of the house of David. I wanted to show that part too. Over in Matthew 2:23, Matthew talks about it also. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, don't confuse a Nazarene. It basically just something that comes from Nazareth, as someone who takes the Nazarite vow. That's a totally different subject. And it doesn't have to do, the Nazarite vow has nothing to do with where you're from. But this is just plain Nazarene, which is where Jesus grew up. And also over in John 1:45 to 46, Philip finding Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. It was kind of well known that Nazareth was like, this particular area wasn't well liked by a lot of the mainline Jews down in Jerusalem, because it was considered not part of Judea. It was in an area more near Samaria. Samaria is more this general area. Sychar is in Samaria. And there was a lot of animosity between some of the people from this area, the northern areas up near Galilee, then down near Jerusalem. It's probably just like anywhere else, you know. If you're from one part of a state and you meet somebody from another part of the state, oh, you live there, don't you? You know, that kind of thing. So it wasn't a very popular place. And I did find some pictures that of some of the ruins there. I can show you a few. What we got so far in Nazareth. This, some believe, actually might be Jesus' home. I'm not sure how they proved it. It's actually underground now. It's under a church, but it's some believe that it could be the original home of Jesus, but it at least it depicts a type of home from that century, the first century AD. And here's a typical home, or what a home might look like in that general area, in that time frame. It kind of sticks out to me, us here in Arizona, because it kind of reminds me of someplace out in the desert area. Here's a really old picture of Nazareth itself, probably taken back in the 1800s. But you can see some ladies here working. I'm thinking that might be a grape place we use crushed grapes or olives. Olives they usually use to press, but grapes they did by walking on them. And the fact that you see that the staining coming down the stairs there, like this lady might be carrying a jug full of grape juice. And I'll probably use this picture later. It's just a picture. Because of Nazareth and because of where Jesus came from, they have quite the tourist area. So during Christmas time, they have a lot of stuff going on in Nazareth. That's where that picture's from. Thought I'd use it later for when they come down to Jerusalem or down to Bethlehem. And this would be a typical woodworker shop. We know that Jesus' earthly father, the one that helped raise him, he's not biological, of course, was a carpenter, and that this is a typical looking carpenter shop of that time frame, building kind of, you know, furniture and things of that nature. So it could be a similar kind of an area that Jesus worked in as a boy. So that's a little bit of an idea of some of the things about Nazareth. Now we'll get into let's get into let's see where did I leave off. Oh, Luke 1:27. Yeah. So the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and didn't mean to hit that button. Okay, and then Gabriel said to her, to a virgin exposed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Some key things to pick out of this is that she was espoused. I know I'm probably saying that word wrong, but basically that was like engaged. She was engaged to Joseph, and it talks about Joseph here. Joseph was of the house of David, so that puts Jesus at least in the legal line of the King of David, and there's also, you know, he's also in the bloodline of David through Mary, not through Joseph. This virgin's name, here we confirm that she was a virgin, and that her name was Mary. And even though there's like six total Marys in the Bible that are talked about on a regular basis, that you'll always find by context of whatever you're talking about, that who Jesus' mother was. By either they'll say the Virgin Mary or Mary, Jesus' mother. They have different ways of identifying to make sure we're talking about the right Mary. Some of the other Marys are identified other ways. I think there's only one that's called Mary without some kind of an identifying mark attached to her name, like Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, as some people call it. She's always seems to, and then there's Mary that who has a sister named Martha, talking about the Lazarus story. And so there's a way to identify which Marys we're talking about. A few things about Mary and Joseph over in Luke 2:4. I think actually I already showed you this verse that we identify Joseph as being out of the city of Nazareth. And another verse that confirms that he was from in David's bloodline. And that verse 2:5 here also confirms that Joseph and Mary, at this time, now they're married, but Mary is pregnant with Jesus. And there's another verse I'm going to show you that proves that that he respected the birth, that her virginity, even though they were married, they never consummated their marriage until after Jesus was born. And there's a verse on that I'll show you. Speaking of the prophecy of this, goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15 in the Garden of Eden. And I will put enmity between thee, it's talking about Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, that would be Satan's seed, and her seed, that would be the seed of the woman that's going to produce the man-child. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's a that prophecy is partially fulfilled. The heel part has already happened. That happened when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. As that you remember, he had nails through his heels. The first part of that verse, it says that it shall bruise thy head. Most believe that's when the Antichrist, when Satan is indwelling the Antichrist, and that he fakes. This injury happens during the tribulation where the Antichrist is somehow injured in the head. And so that's going to be the period of time that this bruise happens. Okay, Isaiah 7:14, and there's so many verses that talk about Joseph and Mary that I could go on. I picked just a few. There's hundreds. I just picked a few of the more common ones to show you. But there's plenty of proof about all that we're talking about here. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. It's the same, it's just a different way of saying Jesus. Jesus is the, I believe, the Greek way, and Emmanuel is the Hebrew way, because right here in Isaiah, so that would be the Hebrew way of saying it. And it's actually, I can never say it quite right, but Yeshua, they didn't pronounce J by J. They usually had a Y to it. Kind of like our pastor, Jamie. I always say Jamie because I can't seem to get past it, but it's more Hamey. It's not a J sound, it's an H sound. And it's kind of the same thing with Yeshua. Yeshua would be the correct way to pronounce Jesus. But I've heard pastors say, I don't think it bothers Jesus if we want to pronounce it more English sounding. So I can't seem to get past that particular way of pronunciation. And over in Matthew 1:18 through 23, and this is a verse I wanted to kind of show you when it talks about what I was saying. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, and that's where it points out that they had not consummated their marriage. In other words, they hadn't had sexual relations. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And this confirms the fact that Joseph respected the fact that she was going to birth the Savior and did not want and wanted her to maintain her virginity until she actually birthed the child. And some would say, how can you get pregnant without, for those out there that may not understand what virginity means, in the Jewish culture, just really quickly, that it was quite common that to prove that a woman was a virgin, they were required to be consummated on their wedding night. And they would actually put a towel under the young girl, and that when they had intercourse, that the hymen would break. And that's a small piece of tissue that's in the birth canal, that when it breaks, it'll bleed just a little bit. And that's quite common. And that blood will prove to the people out in the wedding party that she truly was a virgin. And so that Joseph wanted to maintain that during the pregnancy of Jesus. So he did not was not with her until after. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Continue with this verse, but then the angel is also going to go to we'll get to this further, but here it is in Matthew, so I'll just read it. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it was might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so that those five or six verses kind of puts everything together. Okay, back to Luke, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And I'm talking about, I wanted to try to explain this because unfortunately our Catholic friends like to try to take things a little bit out of context. You see this verse here where it says, Hail. There's a famous term you'll hear Catholics say a lot. Hail Mary, full of grace. It's part of one of their prayers. And They're somewhat quoting this verse, but you can see that it's not quite worded that way. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. It doesn't say anything about being full of grace. They try to raise Mary to a level that is higher than she warrants. They almost bring her to a deity level, and I have a little bit of a problem with that. And I know other friends of mine that feel the same. That it says highly favored, and that's true. But that even Mary herself, if you study Mary on her own, never felt that way, that she was anybody special. She felt blessed to be asked to serve the Lord and to carry Jesus in her womb. But that didn't give her any kind of special place in the world. I kind of think of it like, like the boss's son kind of scenario. I worked with my dad in the National Guard, and I always felt that I had to be a little bit better, I had to be a little bit more careful not to seem like I had special privilege, because my father was my boss. In some ways, when you're in a relationship like that, some people will think that you get away with things that they don't get away with, and that you get special privilege. And so I went out of my way to make sure that no one ever thought that. And I think I would think the same thing about Mary, is that people kept saying, how blessed you are, how special you are, that you got to play this role. But if you look at Mary, and I think that's why God chose her, she never really used that to her advantage, I think. And she always respected the fact that she needed a Savior too. And even though it was her son, she didn't expect a special privilege. So that highly favored, it's only used here and one other place over in Ephesians 1:6. Kind of interesting. And in Ephesians 1:6, it's where you see made acceptance. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. So it's the only other place that word in the Greek is used. And so basically, thou hast found favor with God. It's been translated in the Vulgate. The Vulgate is the Catholic translation of the Bible. Renders it full of grace. And it's been taken advantage of by the Roman Church. That somehow she is special. She's full of grace. As the mother of our Lord, she was the most blessed among women, an external distinction, but let them listen to the Lord's own words over in Luke 11:27-28, when somebody brought this up and how he responded. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And Jesus responded here by saying, But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Right here, Jesus himself is downplaying the role of the woman, and that the most important factor to remember is that we follow the Lord God and keep his word. So I think it's important not to try to overemphasize the role of Mary. I'm sure she felt very proud, very blessed to be honored to do what she did. Like I said, studying Mary, and when you see her all through the Bible, you never really see her in a role that put her above anyone else. She was always subservient. She acted like a normal woman would in that time frame. And she had other children too. So she was a mom to at least two other brothers, two sons, and a daughter, as mentioned. Okay. Luke 1:29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And just a few verses to talk about this, over in Acts 18:9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. So that the angel is kind of saying the same thing to her. Don't be afraid. And also over in Acts 27:24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And that that's basically what Gabriel is saying to Mary. And Romans 8:31, what shall we say then, say to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us? When you got God on your side, can't help but be. So I think I'm going to stop there, because like I said, I got a lot of verses. And we'll stop there. Maybe I just a couple more. Luke 1:31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Yeah, we'll stop there. I just got a the references over in Matthew to go with it. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. This is Matthew 1:21-25. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Remember, I quoted that verse already over there in Isaiah. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And here's another verse to confirm what I was talking about before. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's a verse I wanted to get to that confirms that he did end up being with her, but not until after Jesus was born. So she maintained her virginity all the way till Jesus' birth. I also might want to point out that as we talked about in the first episode, this is Luke doing this. Luke was a physician, and so that this information he's putting down on paper, he's well familiar with it as a trained doctor, and that how the birthing process happened and everything. And so that it's very important that this is like an eyewitness, more or less, to the information we're given as being accurate medically also. So we'll stop there for today and continue on tomorrow. And let's end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of looking at your word. Lord, how special it was that we get to see inside the story behind your birth, and that you're coming to earth to save us from our sins. And I'll praise you and thank you so much, Lord, for that, what we didn't reserve, but you came and died for us. And that you went through all of this just for us. And I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You know, it's hard to imagine a God that loves us so much that to eradicate, to, because one thing, you know, people say, well, why can't God just say, okay, you're all forgiven? Well, you know, when you're as holy as God is, you can't be anything but holy. And that God can't look upon sin, there's something he just cannot do. Some people say, you know, God can do anything, and yes, he can, but there's one thing he can't do. He can't go back on what he says. He can't change his mind. And he told, if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, he told Eve that if you eat the fruit of, he told Adam and Eve, if you eat the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. What he's talking about there is die from your sinful nation because you're not obeying me. So he can't go back on that and change his mind. And so now he has to, the only way he can fix it is that somebody has to die who's without sin to pay the penalty for that. And this is a lead up to the video that's going to follow this video. We'll explain too how you too can get to heaven and how important it is that you look to the Lord and that you seek him out. And that it'll go through the verses and it's, and help you to understand how that you also can get to heaven by putting your trust in the Lord. And I hope you, if you're somebody that's watching this that's never known the Lord, that you seriously stay tuned and you can see the verses and a little explanation. It's only a few minutes on how you too can be saved. And so we will talk again tomorrow. And I hope you all have a great day. Have a good day.